Shalom, saints, and welcome to Daily Devotion again. This is Brother Jason Zima from Zambia, Eastern Zambia. Shall we have a word of prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name, Jehovah. Lord, we are very grateful for the opportunity you've given us again to see another day, to break the word of life together with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we are asking for your counsel, your grace, your spirit to speak and to minister to us. Father, as we are laboring, as we are living in this world, we are still praying that, Lord, you may strengthen our faith, we may be faithful, we may hold on to your word, to your grace, to your mercy, Father. Jehovah, we commit everything into your hands that may you bless, may you speak to our different circumstances and situations. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray. Amen. Yes, so we are continuing with our topic on the power of prayer and fasting. So today, I will give a subtitle to our sharing as The Secret Place. So, prayer and fasting, the secret place. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I want us to define the word secret. A secret is something not known or seen, not meant to be known or seen by others. A place is a particular position, a point or area in space, a location. So a secret is usually for valuable things, is usually meant for valuable things. Money is one thing that we keep as a secret. People are not free to disclose how much money they get, maybe how much their pay, their salary is, or how much profit they've made from a business. These are things we don't disclose. We don't put these things on the open because that is where life is. That is where value is. That is where meaning, that is where your purpose or your sense of livelihood hinges, stands on. So it is not something you may want to expose anyhow. So you have to know that the devil is after your secret location. That is why thieves usually look for people who have resources. They suspect there is somewhere they keep their money. They've got something in the house. So Satan is after that. Now let us look at an account from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, verse 7. So we go all the way to verse 10. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did four times. Now, why did these people institute such a law? You have to understand that the devil doesn't care what you do as long as he can get your prayer life. That is what Satan is after. Because remember, prayer is like breathing to a believer. That is your breath. So if he can cut off the wind, he can cut off prayer, then he's gotten you. So And again, prayer is not just shouting or maybe playing, being quiet in meditation, but it is about establishing a connection with heaven, a connection with God. Because your Christian life should be dependent on God, not on any other thing. So that is why prayer is key. Now, Daniel was a very prayerful person, which means whatever Daniel did, whatever he succeeded in doing, depended on his prayer life. So the devil knew that if he could cut him off prayer, then Daniel was finished. Now, a Christian who doesn't pray is still a Christian, but a very weak one. And such Christians are easily influenced by sin. I have seen Christians who are who find themselves in social programs. Others are so much glued to programs on TV. They religiously follow them, soap operas. Others are glued to sport, soccer, football, you know, as we call it. You'll find that others even wear maybe replica jerseys of teams. And we've seen believers having haircuts, having these fashionable haircuts. And why are believers like that? Because they have a very weak prayer life. And as a result, sin has an influence on them in one or the other. There is a desire. There is an admiration for the world out there because their prayer life is very weak. They still have a thirst. They still have a desire for the things outside. Now, we are going back to the book of Psalms. We are going back to Psalms 91. Let's have a look at verse 3 and verse 4, which is talking about the snare of a fowler. Psalms 91, 3 and 4. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, the job of the fowler is not to scare the birds, but to fool them. The devil is a fowler. He's after fooling us. Now, the fooling process itself comes from enticement. The devil uses enticement. He will use social programs. He will use dances. He will use work, even work. So that is how the evil one works. Now, have a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if we take it down from verse 10, look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, 10. This is what the scriptures say. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles are tricks, or the fooling of the devil, or the enticement of the devil, or the deception of the devil. Our Christian lives are constantly targeted, and Satan will throw whatever he can. So don't think, you know, sometimes people play with sin. You know, a demon can pretend to be a baby. What I mean by that is a sin can pretend to be innocent. Babies tend to be innocent. Someone can carry the baby on their laps. But as you're carrying that baby is meaning business. As I'm referring to the baby, I mean that demonic spirit is meaning business. You can play around with the habit. You can play around with the sin. It's after your soul. It is after you. It will do whatever it can to mess with you. That is why, believers, we have to be alert at all times. We have to have a right spirit at all times. We have to work out our salvation with the fear and the trembling. When we become children of God, that's what we signed up for. You see, you know, if you don't fool the bird, you will not catch it. I remember when I was young, in my life, I remember when I was young, I had a pair of catapults. I think my dad had bought me those pair of catapults. I had catapults, and I always desired to, you know, kill a bird, all right? And, but I never managed because I would, when I see a bunch of birds, I would run before I would release my stone in the catapult. And as a result, before I would even release the stone, the birds would run away. But I've seen those who are skilled, they would take their time. And then I've seen others, they put a trap on a tree. They put up a trap on a tree where they put some glue, some kind of glue on a stick. And they'll put it on a tree so that when a bird lands on it, it's unable to move out. Others, they would make a trap on the ground and put some food, grain and stuff. And then they'll put a rubber, when a bird steps in it, they will release it, something like that. And then they'll trap it. So the whole process is about fooling the bird, making it feel good, you know. Now let us look at this. This 5 and 13, it is telling us of the rewards that are given to a believer who is alert. So we are back in Psalms 91 verse 5 to 13. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. So, Satan is still working during the day, during the night. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. They shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. So your reward is a peaceful life, peaceful sleep. Not just in the physical, but in the spiritual as well. You know, here in the, I'm in a rural place, and when we visit different households, we visit people in the villages, there is always a very similar request. They say, we have a problem in the village. Most people, they say, we can't sleep. We are tormented by demons. We are always attacked. In the night, we fail like to breathe. We see a lot of dark, this voodoo, magic, these scary, you know, witchcraft things. So I tell them, you see, look, Satan has no claim. He has no power over your life. Whatever, I don't care what the problem is. I think on several occasions, Pastor Piri has referred to these problems where people come to say, you know, Pastor Piri, I have a problem. I'm troubled by girls. I'm troubled, you know, I'm tempted by women. They want me to fall, or I'm tempted to drink, or I'm tempted with this problem. The truth of the matter is that those things don't have power over you. Yes, they're forces of evil, but they have no claim. They have no strength. They have no power, because you are the one who has the power to close your door or to open it. So I tell them to say, look, you have to close your door. You have to do something as a Christian and as a believer. You are key. There was one woman, we prayed for her. She used to be tormented by demons and they were driving her crazy. She was getting insane. So, you know, she would come. We would pray for her. And I remember one time she came in the middle of the night. It was a terrible sight. She felt this force coming to her mind, making her go crazy. She said, I'm feeling this force that I'll go mad. I'll get confused. Please pray for me. I had to wake up the believers in the middle of the night. We had to pray for her. We had to counsel her. We had to pray for her. So the next time again, she was okay. Then she comes again. Please pray for me. So I told her to say, look, the secret to your battle lies in your attitude. How much time do you spend in the right company? How much time do you spend with children of God? How much time do you spend in fellowship? Believe me, you can't say you are being tempted. You can't say, me, I'm troubled. A woman is tempting me. How is a woman tempting you, but they're not tempting other people? How are these things coming to you? They are not coming to other people. It is your habit. How do you spend your day? What is your secret place? Because verse 1 says, he who dwelleth in the secret place. So it means you are not in the secret place. When you dwell in your secret place is a place of meditation. It is a place of prayer. It is also a prayer. It's also a place of prayer and fasting. You seek the Lord. You hide. You become quiet. Then everything else will fall out. And then you'll be able to establish a perfect connection with heaven. So that is where the secret lies, in the secret prayer. Now, please. Now, as we conclude, brothers and sisters, look at this. If you read verse 14 to 16 of Psalms 91, this is what it says. Now, it is looking at further promises that the Lord will give us. 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. So God doesn't say, I'll deliver him. You have to take a step. I'll deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God promises to deliver you. To deliver is to take away trouble or difficulties in your life. He will set you on high to make you see more of life and enjoy it. Despite stresses around you, despite problems around you, you'll be at peace. He will answer your call. Your prayer will be answered because you have sought the Lord. There are some people who want to seek the Lord in problems. Now that is problematic because it does not come from the heart. And God doesn't answer such prayers. In trouble, he will be with you. When problems come, he will be with you. No matter what you go through. Honor. You will be respected by both. You'll be respected by both believers and unbelievers. Your life will be honored. Show his salvation. God will also show his salvation. The most important thing when you die, he will be with you because you are saved. You are a believer. So, brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you. We can end our sharing here. May we have a word of prayer. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Father, Psalms 91 reminds us of a secret place. Lord, I pray, may you have mercy on us. Remind us, Lord, to honor this secret place. Remind us, Father, to always have this secret place at heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we learn to seek your presence. May we learn to have a quiet time of meditation in a world of business. Father, others go to work early in the morning. Father, they barely have time. But Jehovah, give them the grace. Father, those of us who are in the field, in the mission field, give us the grace, Father, to seek your face so that Jehovah, your work can be done. Oh, Father, faithfully it can be done to your satisfaction and to your will and desire. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we love you. Amen.